This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Without exaggeration, and this is heard from our scholars and teachers, the following story is by far classified as the most devastating, the most chaotic situation the Muslim community internally have ever gone through. It's one of the top, if not the worst. What is it? The wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been accused of committing a major sin with another man, another companion. May Allah protect us, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Something the community has never experienced before. Something the community has no clue how to deal with. But now we will learn the mistakes and we will learn the solutions, inshallah. Are you ready for the story? From the lens of Aisha radiallahu anha, in a long hadith we will cover, inshallah, briefly by the will of Allah. Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, anytime the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam travels, he takes his wife with him. At that time, the wife he took with him was who? Aisha radiallahu anha. Aisha said, when I was traveling with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we accomplished the mission on the way back to Medina. She said, I used to be seated in a hawdaj. A hawdaj is like a small portable room. You know, you see sometimes in images or movies, like two sticks, and there's like a room on top, and the guys pick up the room and they put it on a camel or so. Something along these lines. She said, I used to be seated in this hawdaj alone. The Prophet was not sitting next to her. So Aisha radiallahu anha said, on our way back to Medina, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam told us it's time to go to a rest area. Just like how when you travel, you go fill up gas, take some rest, whatever the case may be. They go to the rest area. Aisha radiallahu anha, the Sahaba, they took down the hawdaj. And who left the hawdaj, that room? Aisha radiallahu anha. She said, then people had to relieve themselves. But in the desert, I want you to imagine, there's no portable bathrooms. People had to walk very far in the desert to be able to relieve themselves and to use the bathroom. So Aisha radiallahu anha, she walked very far a distance. She did what she needed to do. And then she came back to the camp where the Sahaba, the Prophet, the whole army was. When she came back, she realized, I lost my necklace. So the last time she remembers this necklace was around her neck was when she was on the other end of the desert utilizing the bathroom. So she went back. She walked all the way back to this area. And while she was there, an announcement was made. While she was far away, an announcement was made. Pack your stuff. It's time to continue our journey back to Medina. The people grabbed the hawdaj. But is Aisha in it? No. They grabbed it and they placed it on the camel. What's up with these brothers? Can they not tell someone is not there? Yes, they cannot tell. And you know who said that? Aisha. Aisha radiallahu anha, she said they carried the hawdaj and it's easily possible they did not recognize I was in it because I was extremely skinny. I was very skinny. And she says, not just me, but the An-Nisa, the woman at that time, they didn't have enough meat. Meaning, listen, and it's still the society, the Muslim community was not rich, didn't have much money. Or another way, they were healthy eaters in a way. So they grabbed the hawdaj. You can't tell Aisha is in it or not. Very skinny lady, radiallahu anha. They put the hawdaj and the camel started going. Even the camel didn't notice, right? Okay, the camel kept going. And everybody kept going. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept going. Every single sahabi kept traveling towards Medina. This was at nighttime. Now Aisha finally, she said, finally I found the necklace. Imagine finding it in a desert. She said, I came back and there was no one. Absolutely, like not like last three people, but absolutely no one. So she thought to herself, I will not attempt to like run and try to follow them. I will stay exactly where I was staying before I went to the washroom, where I was staying. Because she said, eventually, who will be the first to notice? Her husband, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's just a matter of time. So she said, I'll wait exactly at the same spot I was at, and eventually they will know Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will come pick me up, my husband. She waited, she said, فَأَخَذَنِي النَّوْمِ فَنِمْتِ. Then I felt so sleepy, I was dozing off, and then I slept. She said, nothing woke me up except a man saying something. What did he say? إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. There's a man that said, to Allah we belong and to Allah we shall return. Usually, one of the reasons we say that when it's a calamity, it's a musibah. Aisha, the mother of the believers, Aisha, the wife of the Prophet, Aisha, the daughter of Abu Bakr, is here by herself. إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Aisha tells us something. She said, he recognized me that I'm Aisha because he knew me before the hijab was revealed. Before, the woman did not have the hijab. It was not an obligation. Aisha said right when he came, she felt more comfortable covering her entire self. So he recognized Aisha from back in the day. She says, وَاللَّهِ مَا تَكَلَّمَ بِغَيْرِ ذَلِكَ. I swear by Allah, this wonderful man, Safwan radiallahu anhu, his name is what? Safwan, he's a superstar. You need to know his name. Safwan ibn al-Mu'attil or al-Mu'attil. I heard it in both different pronunciations. Safwan radiallahu anhu, she said, he did not say anything except إِنَّ لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. And she's emphasizing, like this was the level of protection he had, level of respect that he had. Then he had a camel, he made the camel kneel down, and he stood next to it. Then Aisha came and rode on top of that camel, and then Safwan started heading towards the companions, towards the army. Once again, what did she say? She said two times. He did not say anything except إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. He didn't repeat it, from my understanding. He said it one time. Now she's going back, and obviously two people traveling is usually faster than a big group. Agreed? Two people traveling is faster than a big group, so eventually they were able to catch up. When they were arriving, and I want you to imagine the camels coming, and they were resting once again. The Sahaba, the Prophet, were taking another rest area. Probably the Prophet ﷺ noticed, Allah Ta'ala A'lam. So they took another rest area, and now people are seeing a camel coming, a guy holding the reins of the camel, and a woman standing. So a man by the name of Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul. Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul. He asked the people, who's that lady there? He said, had Umm al-Mu'mineen, the mother of the believers, Aisha. What? And who's that guy? Safwan. A young girl and a young man. I'm just saying. It's logic. A young man and a young woman spending one whole night together. Wallahi ma naja minha wa ma najat minha. There's no way nothing happened. Look at the filth. Look at the filth. And he said that. Few people heard it. Aisha has no clue. The news didn't go viral yet. Aisha comes, radiallahu anha. She says the hadith. I have no clue what happened. She eventually knew who started it. Then she went back home. When she went back home, she said, مَرِضْتُ مَرَضًا. And I was so sick, I couldn't leave the house. Allah saved her. I couldn't leave the house. For how long was she sick? Approximately? شَهْرًا كَامِلًا. What does that mean? One whole month, Aisha radiallahu anha was sick. Aisha, she said, I did not hear anything going on. I did not know things were going viral. Now, I want you to understand something. She's saying this story after the whole incident took place. You see, are you with me? I could have narrated the story as if you don't know what's going on, you're in Aisha's shoes, and no, I just want to say the way she said it, radiallahu anha. Fair enough? So she's telling you what happened to her after she got a lot older. Aisha radiallahu anha, then she said, I did not know that the people start talking about me. Oh, the Prophet's wife. I don't know what she did with Safwan. And a lot of rumors. She said, I could not even tell that my husband was affected by that. Like, my husband didn't really change with me, except in one thing. His way of treating me when I'm sick. Look what she's saying. Tabih, pay attention. This is your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She said, I did not see from him the usual care I receive from him when I'm sick. Aisha radiallahu anha, when she gets sick, he is the sweetest human being, not man, human being alive. Serving her, helping her, sitting right next to her, maybe reading some Quran over her. All these things. Ya Aisha, sweetheart, my love. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to call Aisha, Aish. That's a way that was sweet to them. That's a way that she loved. And they found it cute and it's loving. So whatever works in your family, just say it. May Allah protect us. All right? So then he says, Ya Aish. But she said, he did not say that. He didn't say, Kayfa haluki ya Aisha, how are you, Aisha? He didn't say, Kayfa haluki ya Aish, how are you, Aish? He said, Kayfa tikum. What does it mean? How are you guys doing today? General. So how are you guys doing today? No name, like personalization. It's like a foreword. She said, that's the only thing, but I still did not catch on it that he's upset and he's angry. But that was the one thing. If you ask me, what's the one thing I noticed different? It was that. And how great of a husband is he? And it's so difficult to say this, right? When you think of your own life as men, husbands, agreed, and as wives, and how we deal with one another. Using the word habibti, using the word habibi. And I know some people start cringing. It's okay, it's fine. You can cringe as much as you want. We're fasting, right? Anything goes wrong, say, inni sa'im, inni sa'im. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if someone is angry at you, or wants to fight you, or is about to curse you, don't fight back, don't punch back, don't curse back. All what you should say is, I am fasting, I am fasting. All right? So alhamdulillah, we're so blessed with emojis and WhatsApp. Alhamdulillah, use them. Wallahi, it's an art. Use the heart, use the kiss on the side. Whatever you need to do, do. But this is how we should be as couples. May Allah make it easy for all of us and allow us to apply what in the world we are preaching. Say ameen. All right. So then Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, after this month has passed by, I went to go with another lady. Her name is Mistah. Mistah, the mother of Mistah. And she said, we used to go every other night to relieve ourselves in the far area. And she said, in our community, we despised having bathrooms nearby because they did not have the same systems we have today. So she said, we used to go very far away. And we used to go every other night. So then I went with our sister, Mistah, to relieve ourselves. We went very far in the desert at nighttime. On the way back, ta'atharat, the mother of Mistah, she had a long dress, and then she tripped from her dress. When she tripped, what did she say? Some people say, alhamdulillah. Some people curse, may Allah protect us. Some people don't say anything. What reaction she had was, ta'isa Mistah, ikhrib baytak ya Mistah. May you be ruined, ya Mistah. You horrible guy. So Aisha said, why in the world? Bi'sa ma khulti. Right away, shuf. She said, what you said was horrible. Don't you ever say that about Mistah. You know who's Mistah? It's her son. But Aisha is defending her son. Why? Because she said, إِنَّهُ قَدْ شَهِدَ بَدْرًا. He attended the battle of Badr. The noblest, the greatest battle the Muslims ever contributed in and fought in was Badr. And he was part of it. Only 300 plus soldiers. That's it. He's one of them. Don't you ever say that about your son. So Mistah said, I don't know, maybe she's fixing her dress. Like, you don't know what he said about you? It's like, why, what happened? You have no clue what's going on. The whole month, no idea. Let me tell you. Mistah and so and others, what's going on? You're being accused about a month ago, that night that you spent alone in the desert and you came with Safwan ibn al-Mu'attil, that something happened between you and Safwan. She said, فَازْدَدْتُ مَرَضًا عَلَى مَرَضِي. My sickness just went from normal to extreme. وَبَكَيْتُ بُكَى. And I cried so much, I couldn't believe. This is true, there's no way. She said, so I went back home and I controlled myself. She controlled herself. And she saw Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She doesn't want to open up the topic with him. But now she's what? Connecting the dots. كيفتيكم, not عائش, حبيب. There's none of that. He's not treating me the way he was when I'm sick, like he doesn't sit right next to me. She's connecting the dots and she went to her husband and she told him, Ya Rasulullah, أتأذن لي, would you give me permission to please visit my mom and dad? مم الأدب and respect. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, sure, go for it. So Aisha goes and she meets her mom and she tells her, mom, what in the world is going on? What's going on? So what does mom say? Never is a beautiful woman like you, Aisha, married to a wonderful man like Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Never is there a couple that love one another except that there's a lot of jealous people around. So then Aisha says, so you're confirming that's true. You see what Aisha's saying? Aisha's not looking at this nice wording. She's looking at, this is a fact now. Like people are actually discussing this. She said, I cried so much. Then she said, أَوَلَقَدْ تَحَدَّثَ النَّاسُ بِهَذَا? People are really talking about this? People really blew this out of proportion? Then what happened? She said, I cried so much that night that I did not sleep. May Allah protect us and not make us go through these nights. And those who do go through these nights, may Allah relieve you from that hardship. May Allah lift your pain. Because many people, when do they actually cry? Is when they're alone. When do they cry? At nighttime. When do they cry? When no one is around. But I want to remind you, every tear that you shed of pain from the oppression you received, every tear that you shed for the accusation that you may be going through, know that it will erase every pain and every sin that you've committed in your past. Know that for every tear, Allah will upgrade your status in Jannah. And know that though no one can hear you, Allah sees you and can hear you and Allah will respond to you. So use your broken moments to reach Allah so you can mend your heart. Go to Allah with your broken heart because only Allah can mend it. That's why Aisha went through at nighttime. She could not sleep and she kept crying and crying and crying. How bad were things? Things were pretty bad. Can I ask you a question? I really want to ask you a question. I know you don't like questions in the middle of your session, but I have a question. What is it? Why did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam not defend his wife this entire month? Why? Did he believe it? Because the Prophet Allah said about him, وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى. The Prophet never speaks from his own whims and desires. He doesn't. إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى. He speaks based on revelation. Deep in his heart, and you will see, he believes his wife is innocent. 100%. He believes in that, 100%. But now things are very difficult. And it can really mess people's minds. May Allah protect us. This has never happened before. How do I punish this person? What's our Sharia? What's our law? These laws were not revealed yet in the Muslim community. How do we deal with it? This never happened before. So do we have to wait for revelation? You and I know, because revelation is complete. You and I don't have to wait. But in this community, radiallahu anhum, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were waiting because there's always revelation. Now what made it so difficult is that these gossipers, these losers, these hypocrites, and unfortunately, some true believers who contributed, they were saying, see, a whole month passed by and there's no, say it, there's no revelation. So they say, قَدْ تَدَنَّسَ الْبَيْتِ. The household of the Prophet has become polluted. There's so much sin and sinners in this house. That revelation is no longer coming to the house. May Allah protect us, Ya Rabbal Alameen. It's painful, it's difficult. It's difficult. Imagine posters made about, I say you, but yes, I'll think about myself. So-and-so did this, and people sharing it, and people making Facebook pages, and people sharing stories. He did this, she did that. It's all zulm, it's all kadhib, it's all a lie. It's a lie. And even if you try to fix it, the damage has taken place. Yes or no? It's painful. So Aisha radiallahu anha, what happens? She stays in her place and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now the spotlight is on him. He asks his cousin, who? Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. He says, Ya Ali, your thoughts. How do we deal with this? Community is shaken. People are not feeling comfortable. The whole community is suffering. Ali radiallahu anhu, he sees the Prophet suffering. Alayhi sallam. He's suffering. Ali sees My Ibn al-Am, my cousin, my prophet, my Nabi, my father-in-law, because Ali married Fatima. That's all him, he's suffering. So he tells him, Ya Rasulullah, there's a lot of other women out there. I'll be honest with you. There's a lot of other women out there. He never accused her. A'udhu billah. Ali never accused Aisha. But he said, Ya Rasulullah, I don't want you to go through this. You know when you have to give up something? Opportunity cost? You have to let go of something to get something? He put the Prophet above everyone. The Prophet sallam, you're too important to us. There's a lot of other women. But he said, Ali said, if you want to feel more comfortable, ask the servant and assistant of Aisha. He used to have like an assistant or a server. And her name was Barira. What's her name? Barira, because Barira is a superstar. Barira radiallahu anha, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to her. He said, Ya Barira, did you notice anything about Aisha lately? Anything worthy of questioning, red flag? Said, La wallahi, no way. Aisha, no way. She's a young girl. But she has one bad thing about her. Every time she tries to cook something, she forgets about what she's cooking, and then the animals come and eat it. Allah yahdiha, this is Aisha. Radiallahu anha. I added that part, right? See, that's the one bad thing. But besides that, she's a wonderful lady. Pure, clean, innocent, wonderful lady. So then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asks Usama ibn Zayd, his loved sahabi. He says, what do you think? You look at the Prophet sallam consulting, it's very difficult. What is he saying? He says, Ya Rasulullah, ahlak wa la a'lamu illa khayra. I'll be honest with you. I know your family and I don't know anything except greatness about your family, meaning your wife. Reputation is gold, diamond. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam felt more and more comfortable. He was insan. At the end of the day, he's a human being. So then he went to the masjid and gave a khutbah. Ready for the khutbah? He came to the masjid. People are gathered. The brothers are there. Perhaps some sisters were there. Allah ta'ala a'lam. Then look to what he says alayhi salatu wa salam. He says, Ya ma'ashara al-muslimin. Oh Muslims. Look at the way he is addressing it. Oh Muslims. مَنْ يَعْذُرُنِي مِنْ رَجُلٍ قَدْ بَلَغَنِي عَنْهُ أَذَاهُ فِي أَهْلِي. Who will blame me? Who will blame me if I'm angry at someone? Who's that someone? Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Yasir. Remember when he was sitting, he's like, who's that lady? This guy. He's like, who will blame me if I'm angry at someone? Who will blame me if I fight back someone who's harming me and slandering my ahl, my wife? Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look what he says. He defends not his wife only. Who does he defend as well? Safwan. He says, Wallahi ma alimtu, I swear by Allah, I don't know nothing about my family or my wife except that she's a wonderful woman. Allahu Akbar. And the man people are speaking bad about him, he never came to my house without my presence. I was always there. I was always around. He's also a good man. Then what happened? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he said this, and I want you to pay attention to the second name, not the first name. To what? To the second name, not the first name. Because there's two people I want to talk about. Both are Sa'd. Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, who was the leader of his tribe. There's Al-Aws and there's Al-Khazraj. There's two large tribes in Medina. With me? Two large tribes. Al-Aws and Al-Khazraj. So then Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, he said, Ya Rasulullah, a'dhuruk, I will not blame you. Absolutely, I'll not blame you. He said, if he was from my tribe, Al-Aws, darabtu unaqa, I'll kill him. No questions asked. You just tell us, go for it, give us the name, and he's done, he's dead. The one speaking bad about the Prophet and his wife, and indirectly about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, la naqtuluhu. And, Ya Rasulullah, if he was not from my tribe, Aws, but look at the, you know, emotional intelligence and how to address things. Look at him. Sa'd ibn Mu'adh said, and if it was not from my tribe, Al-Aws, and it was from our brothers, شوف الأدب, من الإخوة, من أخواني, from my brothers, from the other tribe, which is Al-Khazraj, and you command us, look at the adab, and you tell us to kill him, we will kill him. The leader of the other tribe, Al-Khazraj, his name was Sa'd ibn Ubad, ahsant. Allah yabarik feek. Sa'd ibn Ubad said, Wallahi kadhabt. You're a liar. You will not dare to touch one of my guys. Now it's became what? Like tribalism. You don't dare to touch one of my people. And you're a munafiq tujadilu anil munafiqeen. Ya Allah. He said to Sa'd bin Mu'adh, he said, you see you? You're a hypocrite defending the hypocrites. And they're about to take their swords and go back to war in the masjid. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he kept putting his hands down like this. Relax. Uskutu. Calm down. Take it easy. Calm down. Hatta hada'u. They're about to kill one another. What does this tell you? The community was going through some serious issues. They were not able to handle it, that they're about to lose their minds. In every sense that you want to refer to, they cut the Prophet ﷺ off. They disrespected the Prophet ﷺ's speech. They didn't listen to the main point of the issue. Nothing. And then no one said, okay, khalas, relax. No, they asked, you want to fight? Okay, you want to fight? Like, no one really calmed down until the Prophet ﷺ said, take it, calm down. Fasakatu fasakat. Then they all became silent, like, what are we doing? Then he became silent, then he left alayhi salatu wassalam. Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, the pain was so much. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not really helping her much. She said, then I went to my mom and my dad. In the narration, mom and dad came to her. Then I was just crying. And there's this lady, I really wanted to know her name, but maybe I'll search, inshallah. Imra Ansariya, a woman from the people of Medina. She knocked on the door and she asked to be entered and to see Aisha. Aisha said, so this Imra Al-Ansariya, she came in, she just came in and started crying with me. And sometimes, wallahi, that's how you help people. You don't talk. You don't do anything. Let's just cry together. And subhanAllah, it just helps. And we said it many times in different examples. And this is not because we're losers. That's how we were made. When we are suffering and we see someone suffering like us, our suffering decreases. Because we will no longer say, why me? Now it's why us. Agreed? In a classroom, when half the class failed, you won't feel as bad if you were the only one who failed. Agreed? You're not a hater. You're not a loser. You're a human being. So this Ansariya, she walks in. She cries along with Aisha radiallahu anha. And who walks in? There's Aisha. And there is who? Her dad, Abu Bakr Siddiq. And then there's her mom. And then there is her friend. And who walks in? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And for the first time, he will address the problem. Or the elephant in the room. He walks in. Aisha said, فقال الشهادة. He began, said, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله. I bear witness, there's no deity worthy of worship but Allah. And Prophet Muhammad is Allah's servant and messenger. أما بعد. يا عائشة, if what the people are saying is not true, then Allah will relieve or will reveal your innocence. If what the people are saying is not true, then Allah will reveal your innocence. But if you did al-mamti bi-dhanbin, if you did commit a sin, then I want you to know that Allah is the most forgiving. And I want you to know that no one ever goes back to Allah with whatever sin they commit, except that the door of forgiveness and repentance is always open for them. Aisha said, I was crying until he said that, I stopped crying. La, I'm not crying no more. I'm not feeling sorry for myself no more. She said to her husband and the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she told him, you saying this just shows that whatever they're saying has entered into your mind and you're starting to believe it. And she said, if I tell you I'm innocent, no one will believe me. And if I tell you, yes, I did it, all of you will believe me. And I don't know what to tell you except one thing. I will tell you all what the father of Yusuf said. فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانُ عَلَى مَا تَصِفُونَ. Beautiful patience is what I will show. Beautiful patience is where I complain to no one but Allah. I'll not complain to the Prophet. I'll not complain to Abu Bakr. I'll not complain to my mom. I'm going to complain to Allah. فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانُ عَلَى مَا تَصِفُونَ. And only Allah can help me with the accusation you guys are accusing me of. Then Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, then I turned around. She's very tired, very exhausted. She was lying on the mattress or so. She said, then I turned around. And she said, Wallahi, Allah will show my innocence. Wallahi, I will be innocent. But she said, أَنَا أَحْقَرُ. She said, I am beneath for Allah to reveal Quran. All what I was hoping for, that the Prophet will have a dream, ru'ya. And the Prophet's dreams are a form of revelation. But these dreams are never in the Quran. You're with me. The dreams are not in the Quran. They're in the hadith. She said, I thought I'll get a hadith. Never an ayah in the Quran. She said, فَوَاللَّهِ, that same moment, my trust in Allah was at the peak. When the accusation was at the peak, her trust in Allah increased. Allahu Akbar. When the means that you have are no longer available, that's when your tawakkul reaches the peak. When Musa alayhi salam, the ocean was in front of him. When Musa alayhi salam, Pharaoh and the army was behind him. All the means were exhausted. Not a single mean is available. And they said, "Inna la mudrakun." Bani Israel said, "We're done. We're toasted. We're that's it. We're gonna get killed." What did Musa say? "Kalla, no way. Inna ma'i Rabbi sayhadin. I did everything I can. There's no other option except that I'll be saved." And the only way you reach that level of confidence of Musa, the only way you reach that level of confidence of Aisha is when you do everything you humanly possibly can do. That's when you can reach that level. When Abu Bakr as-Siddiq and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they ran away from Mecca, running for their lives, immigrating to Medina, Mecca's north, Medina's south. They did everything possible to not let Quraysh know Muhammad and Abu Bakr are running away for their lives. Instead of them going, no, Medina is north. Instead of going north to Medina, they went south. They went to a mountain. No, they climbed the mountain. No, they entered a cave in the mountain. No, that foot traces they had, they cleared it with some sheep and cattle. They did everything. They got Asma, the daughter of Abu Bakr, who was pregnant, to be the one who delivers the food. Because no one can imagine a pregnant woman will climb a mountain to deliver food. Everything they can. What are you trying to say? When the people of Quraysh, they did everything they also can, and they reached the mountain, they even, some narrations say that they went through, imagine, the remaining of a camel, the dung of a camel, the waste. They grabbed the waste and they tested the waste until they saw a seed of a date. They want to inspect how old is that seed and is it from Mecca or not. That's how bad and how far the evildoers went to know where Muhammad ran away, alayhi salatu wasalam. And when they reached the cave, and they all did the exact same means, Abu Bakr and Muhammad went up to here, Quraysh went up to here. The one difference was one step. Only one difference is one step. Muhammad, when he reached the cave, he entered it. He entered it. Quraysh did not. That's it. That was the one step they didn't do. The only difference between Quraysh and Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that one step. They entered the cave and those didn't. They did everything the same. Sometimes what makes you a winner was one step. One extra step. You know when they run for the Olympics and they just do this head like this just to win? Sometimes that movement is what made them win the gold medal. Just one movement. This is in race. And also to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes it's that one step you had to take that would have changed your life. But he said, ah, who cares? It was one more dua. That same dua you've done 100 times. Same dua 100 times. You know when it would have been accepted? 101. That's what it took. One more. Allah was going to give it to you. One more. But you just never knew. So that one step. And then when they went to that one step, what happened? Abu Bakr as-Siddiq started getting nervous. Ya Rasulullah, they're right there, Ya Rasulullah. If one of them just looks down, they will see us. Khalas, we're going to get caught, Ya Rasulullah. That is when your Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Kalla, no. Ya Abu Bakr, ma dhannuka bithnain Allah wa thalithahuma. Abu Bakr, no, they're not going to catch us. We're not two, we're three. What? It's me and you. No, you and I and Allah. That's it. When did he say that? When he was running away? No. When he's climbing the mountain? No. When he did everything he possibly can? Allah ma'i. Tawakkalna ala Allah, bismillah, tawakkaltu ala Allah. That's it, you did everything that you can. So all of this to go back to Aisha. Aisha said, I knew for a fact, Allah will show my innocence. You see all this? She said, فَوَاللَّهِ مَا تَحَرَّكَ النَّبِيِّ. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم did not leave his place. And it's just right all live happening right at that moment. He start to shiver. What? Yes, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم shiver. And كانت الليلة اليوم بارد. It was a cold day. But he was what, sweating. Why? What does that mean? Sweating. Shivering. What's going on? Quran is being revealed. After over a month, alhamdulillah, Quran is being revealed. But what is it about? Not to eat pork, how to eat, how to pray, how to make wudu, to pay zakah, how to fight in the battle. We don't know. But revelation, he's sweating, he's shivering. Abu Bakr is watching. His wife, Aisha, what's going on? Then when he finished, he says, Ya Aisha. The first thing he said, Rasulullah said, Ya Aisha, Quran is done, revealed. What is it? We don't know yet, but hold on. Ya Aisha, Ama wallahi qad barra'iki Allah. Allah has showed you innocence. Allah said you're bariyah. Allah said you're innocent. Then Aisha radiallahu anha, she was so happy. The mother of Aisha tells her, Ya Aisha, go thank your prophet. Go thank your husband. Give him a hug. She's like, Wallahi, I will not thank anyone except Allah. Lan ahmad ayy ahad illa Allah. Because Allah is the one who showed my innocence. And Rasulullah did not rebuke her for that. Then Aisha radiallahu anha said, and that is when Allah revealed 10 ayat, 10 ayat from Surah An-Nur. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Allah says, innal ladhina ja'u bil ifki 'usbatun minkum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the ones who came about with the outrageous lie. What did Allah just clearly say to you? From this one word, he sealed the deal. Allah called it ifk. What's ifk? Ifk is the highest level of a lie. A'la maratib al-kadhib is known as ifk. So Allah did not say those who came with the lie. No, Allah says ifk. Like this is a lie upon a lie, squared, cubed lie. Okay? Then Allah says usbatun minkum. Usba is a group between 10 and 40 people. Minkum, minkum from amongst you. People prayed shoulder to shoulder. People who ate food in your house. They're not the Romans, they're not the Persians, they're not the Christians, they're not the Jews, they're Muslims. At least some of them declare to be Muslims, but they hide kufr. Usbatun minkum. And one of the scholars said that usba, more of like a, sounds like a gang. Usba sounds like a group of people that had bad intentions. May Allah protect us, Ya Rabbil Alameen. So minkum means no one is safe. This can happen to you, it can happen to me. It happened to the greatest of us, right or wrong? Aisha radiallahu anha. So do you think you're safe? Do I think I'm safe? No, no one is safe. May Allah protect us. Then Allah says something very powerful. If it was someone other than Allah, it may not make a lot of sense to you, but because Allah said it, we will all accept it. Ready? لا تحسبوه شرا لكم بل هو خير لكم. Allah tells the Prophet, tells Aisha, tells her family, tells the true believers, you see the chaos that happened? You see that crying, that liver that was about to be torn apart? You see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam pain on his face for over a month? You see all of that? Don't think it's bad. How? How to your common sense this can be not bad? Allah said it's not bad. Not just that, Allah said, rather, it's actually good. بَلْ هُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. And I will not tell you how it's good. You will tell me how it's good. Fair enough? So raise your hand, inshallah, help me out. And when you help me, you bring us all energy, especially that we're fasting. This is not going to break your fast when we get energy, inshallah, like that. So raise your hand and tell me, how did this story bring about benefit after this chaos of the community? Give me 1 million. Allah tabarak. Allah yabarik fiki wa yahfadik. Say ameen. May Allah bless her and protect her. Ya Rab. You see this fa'idah, the benefit that you mentioned? I taught the story many times before, but I did not notice. I know it might be sound simple to some people, but I did not notice this benefit till today. Sure. When I was preparing. I'll explain, inshallah. She said, one of the benefits that came about is that every moment of pain Aisha went through, Abu Bakr went through, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went through, the true believers went through, every moment was a moment of erasing a sin and adding a good deed. And to the Prophet, it elevates his status. And to Aisha, it showed the world, don't mess around with Aisha. Radiallahu anha. And just an FYI. And I don't usually, and I don't like, maybe one day, but I don't have no intention as of now. Even people of other sects do not believe Aisha committed the sin. You have to know that. People from other sects believe Aisha is actually innocent in this. Why? Because Quran was revealed. And the scholars debate. And if you do hear someone, it's the layman. It's not a scholar of the other sect. The scholars debate. Calling an innocent woman that she has done such and such, is that person Muslim or kafir? You see that? There's a debate. But when it comes to Aisha, ijma' mutlaq. This is consensus. Non-negotiable. Ijma' and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did he say? The ummah will never have a consensus on something that is wrong. Remember this. La tajtami' ummati ala dalala. He said, the ulama said, there's a consensus that those who say Aisha committed this are kuffar. Consensus, ijma'. But you don't go around labeling people, may Allah forgive us, because they might have not known the ayat, correct? They might have not understood the ayat, correct? So don't go and judge, but my point is showing you the honor of Aisha here. May Allah protect us and grant us wisdom and guidance, say ameen, and beneficial knowledge. It's great for the community, because all the pain that they went through, so sah, it took a month, but maybe the reward Aisha got in that month, maybe it's something she did not acquire in 10 years. Allahu A'lam. It was painful. As I told you, the historians, many of the ulama of the seerah said, this is the biggest and most difficult community crisis they ever went through before the passing of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لا تحسبوه شرا لكم بل هو خير لكم. Maryam, excellent. What's another benefit? We said increase in reward, erase of sins. Maybe right now you're in pain because a seat, it erases your sins. Maybe you're hungry. Is that pain? Erases sins. Gives you good deeds, inshallah. May Allah protect us, ya Rabb. Number two, go for it. Excellent. One of the things to show that at the end of the day, Allah will prove your innocence. Subhanallah, ahsanti. May Allah bless you and protect you. Daiman, at the end of the way, at the end of the tunnel, there's light. There's always light at the end of the tunnel. Okay, and give me another one. That's give me number three. Shabab, brothers, go ahead. Aywa. It's painful, but it's good. It exposed the munafiqeen in the community. Before that, they were intermingling. Abdullah ibn Ubayy ibn Salul would have been invited over, have ta'al iftar with us. Oh, come over, this man come here, the other lady come here, because men and women were involved. But they were not known that they're munafiqeen. And today, in today's time, you see the wars that take place and bloodshed, it's painful. It's very painful. And there's a lot of benefit and there's a lot of harm. But part of the benefit, one of the many, is you get to know whose is with who. Agreed? You get to know, oh, this whole time, I thought you were with us, you ended up being against us. So the munafiqeen got exposed badly. May Allah protect us. And it's very important that they get exposed. They were the backstabbers. So that's three. Give me number four. Go for it. Bismillah. Always trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Excellent. May Allah make you amongst the mutawakkilat. Brothers, shabab, Allah yarda alaykum. For my sake, like, forget your niyyah now. Go ahead, brother. Excellent. May Allah bless you and protect you. Excellent. You learn so you don't fall in the same footsteps of those who went on the wrong path. Follow the footsteps of the ones who did the right thing. One more, brothers. Shabab, go for it. Ali Sotak Shabab. Excellent, excellent that we don't do the same mistake. All these things are wonderful. Aisha radiallahu anha's status skyrocketed. And one of the very important things that came from this story, ready for this? For those that they need something to strengthen their faith, this is it for you. All of them strengthen your faith. But this is it, ready? The fact that Quran was revealed after over a month shows the whole world Quran is not man-made. Why? Because if it was man-made, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have made up something the day it happened. The ones who did this, do 1, 2, 3, judge them and knock them out and kill them or whatever the case is. But to show that even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could not speak without knowledge. So you too who did not have knowledge, don't speak without knowledge. And this shows you that Quran is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And do you not think Aisha was making dua? Do you not think Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua? Do you actually think there's not in the hadith? There's nowhere in the hadith that I read the Prophet made dua. But common sense, the one who says astaghfirullah more than 100 times a day, will he not make dua? What does your logic tell you? 100%. When did the dua get accepted in a way to the community? Over a month. And that's the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But there's a hikmah. So if you who is making dua in Ramadan, it doesn't happen till 10 Ramadans later, there's a wisdom behind it. May Allah protect you. May Allah protect us. Ya Rabbil Alameen. Sometimes things look so evil to you, right? They're so evil, so bad. I hate this school, right kids? I hate this school. But this school is good for you, right? Or sometimes the opposite. Oh, look how beautiful this is. Please give me this. It looks so beautiful. But it's filled with evil. Evil. May Allah protect us, Ya Rab, and grant us insight. Next. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is about to tell you what will happen to those that were involved. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ مَكْتَسَبَ مِنَ الْإِثْمِ. Everyone who participated in this slander in any way, shape or form, in all forms, said it, sat and listened, didn't do anything, loved it, do whatever, you will be held accountable. Non-negotiable. Pay attention. Are they all going to get punished the same way? No. وَالَّذِي تَوَلَّى كِبَرَهُ مِنْهُمْ لَهُ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. And the mastermind, Abdullah ibn Ubayy ibn Salul, the one who initiated this whole, it was one guy with a small followers. But he worded it in a way that was so spicy, so interesting, got people's attention. Others start sharing it. Others start forwarding it. This man who initiated will have عذابٌ عظيم. Some of the books of tafsir said that the sahaba that participated, yes, sahaba, some of them were great sahaba. Mistah, radiallahu anhu, may Allah forgive him. He participated and they all got the punishment that was required. So amongst them was Mistah, Hassan ibn Thabit, radiallahu anhu, Hamna bint Jahsh, the sister of Zainab bint Jahsh, the sister-in-law of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and whoever participated, and of course, Abdullah ibn Ubayy ibn Salul, some said he got punished even more than them, haddain, wallahu ta'ala a'lam. And here we have to notice something very important, and I share with youngsters and elders. Parents especially that have kids, pay attention, and also kids. When you start a bad habit, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, you don't just get held accountable, that oh, it's haram, that you started this bad habit, but whoever imitates you, you get a commission. You get a share of that sin. May Allah protect us. So let's say, for example, the shabab, all right, we all hang out together, and no one really ever brought a hookah, for example. Let me give an example, relax, guys. Breathe in, breathe out, it's okay. You're saying it's haram? Relax. It's nisa'im, nisa'im. You want to fight? Okay, we always hang out together as shabab brothers. No one brings a hookah. And some, like three, four people are like, I really want to bring it. I don't know. This guy keeps coming to our gatherings. Man. So one guy says, you know what, I'm going to bring it. So he brings it. And what happens when he brings it? It's common sense. People start becoming more comfortable. And they all bring the other hookahs. The first one who brought it will not just be held accountable for what he did, but all those who brought it. You see that? Be very careful. May Allah protect us. And the opposite is true. What do you mean? The one who starts a good habit, Allah will reward them and everyone who participates and follows suit, subhanAllah. So may Allah make us of those who initiate good habits. Say ameen. So may Allah reward the one who thought about this whole halaqah, putting it together. May Allah reward the ICD and the people behind closed doors that many of us do not know their names. May Allah reward them for that. Say ameen. Those who donate, we don't know many of their names. May Allah reward you. And then you open the doors for others to do it, then Allah will reward you for that. So it's a double-edged sword. May Allah make us of those who start a good habit. Do you guys know some people in the past who started a good habit or a bad habit and people followed them? Tell me an example or a story. وَالَّذِي تَوَلَّى كِبْرَهُ مِنْهُمْ لَهُ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. Let me share with you two really quick. Mecca was not known to have idol worship. كان عليها دين إبراهيم عليه السلام. You know Ismail عليه السلام, when he moved to Mecca, Islam was being prevailed. But how did the idols come? There's a man, his name is Amr ibn Amir ibn Luhay. Amr, this man, he's the one who went to Asham. When he went to Asham, he saw people worshipping idols. He's like, what are these? What are these cool stuff? He's like, these things, people in Asham, not Muslims, they said, whenever we want rain, we call this rock, it rains. Whenever we want a child, we go to this other rock. We seek blessings and my wife gets pregnant. If I ever want money, I go to this rock. I seek blessings. We get money. So then Amr says, what a genius. What a... Okay. Then he went, got an idol. And then he took it all the way with him to where? Mecca. And that's how Mecca got the whole idol worshipping. May Allah protect us. واحد عمر بن لحي. واحد, one person. May Allah protect us. Another example. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, never is a human being, أي إنسان يقتل ظلما, no human being is killed unjustly, except who takes the sin as well. Who? Help us out. No soul anywhere on earth, an innocent soul got killed oppressively, except that not just the killer gets sins, but who gets a sin as well? Qabil, the first killer on earth. Cain, who killed Abel. Qabil killed Habil. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not mention actual names, but he says, Ibn Adam al-awwal kiflun min damiha li'annahu kana awwala man sanna al-qatl. He was the first one that started killing. So everyone that kills, this man takes sins. May Allah protect us. So start a good deed. And please, I want to share with you one last thing. Social media doesn't die in a way, correct? We die, social media is still alive. So what are you trying to tell us? You need to go, I need to go throughout my social media, throughout sometimes my messages or text, okay? And anything messed up we've done, it's time to delete. Agreed? People you're not supposed to be following, don't follow them. Posts you're not supposed to be posting, don't post. Because when you die, they remain. But I made tawbah, tabi akhi, delete. Delete. You never know when it comes. The death comes. May Allah protect us. Common sense, inshallah. May Allah make it easy, because it's not really easy on many of us. May Allah make it easy. Tayyib. Now when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the one who started this initiation will have adabun azim, Allah will tell the community how they should have dealt with it. Ready? Here are the steps as the brother told us before. Bismillah. Allah says, لَوْلَا إِذْ سَمِعْتُمُهُ. So Allah is going to say it on two different occasions. Focus with me in this ayah. Few ayat, and we come again to another step. Total of 10 ayat. In this ayah, Allah says, لَوْلَا إِذْ سَمِعْتُمُهُ. لولا إذ سمعتموه ظن المؤمنون والمؤمنات بأنفسهم خيرا. Allah said, number one step, the moment you heard Aisha and Safwan, the moment you heard, you should have thought well of Aisha. That's step one. You should have thought well of yourselves. This is the Quran. Quran is very deep. And we can go every ayah so much time in it. But Allah says, you should have thought well, بأنفسهم, think well of yourself. How does that make sense? Well, when we explain the ayah, Alisha, no, we're fasting. When we explain the ayah, we say, you should have thought well of, who? Say her name, Aisha, right? So Allah does not say, you should have thought well of her, thought well of them. Allah says, you should have thought well of yourself. What do I have to do with this? I would never do something like that. Exactly. What did he just say? I would never do something like that. Exactly. So just like how you think well of yourself, think well of her. You see that? How beautiful? بأنفسهم, think well of yourself, shows that the ummah is one body. So if one goes down, we're all down. If one part of us is in pain, we're all in pain. Her problem is my problem. My problem is her problem. Allahu Akbar. بأنفسهم. Very eloquent. Allah says, think well of yourselves. And you know who did a great job? Abu Ayyub and Ayyub, radiallahu anhuma. Ayyub, wonderful mom, she talks to her husband, one-on-one. She says, ya Abu Ayyub, you heard what's going on. Would you, Abu Ayyub, would you do what Safwan, people are saying about him? Because her question is very firm, in a way. Ya Abu Ayyub, if you were in Safwan's position in the desert along with Aisha, would this thought come to your mind? He's like, A'udhu Billah, no way. Ayyub says, and if I was in Aisha's position, I would have never done something like that. I guess with Ayyub. Then Ayyub says, Safwan is better than you, and Aisha is better than me. And this was a prime example of how to think well of others. We're not even the same. They're better than us, and that's something we would have never done. But what if it's true? That's not how you start. You start by assuming well. Then investigation comes and you will see. But first step, you hear the news, a poster, a text. Oh, guess what happened? La, I think one of that brother. No, that sister is great. Her record is phenomenal. You know what the brother has been doing for years? You know what she did for decades? La, la, no way, no way. Maybe there's a way, but as you start, no way. May Allah protect us, Ya Rab. Because everyone got accused. Every good person will get accused at one point in their lives. May Allah protect us. And the better of a man or a woman you are, the more accusations you will receive in a small circle or in public. Tell me some people, very great people from the past of righteousness, from the Quran or Hadith that were accused. Just give me their name. Give me one name. Was accused. Very bad accusation. Aisha radiallahu anha, fantastic. May Allah protect you, Isa. That's it, Aisha. Done. Give me another man or another woman that was accused. Musa alayhi salam. Musa was accused and Bani Israel. They accused him that he killed his brother Harun. I shared that in a previous session. They accused him of killing his own brother Harun. Give me another one. Sayyidina Yusuf. He was accused that he did what he did with the wife of the financial minister. Ma salim ahad. No one was safe, and no one is safe, and no one will ever be safe until you meet Allah. May Allah protect us, Ya Rab. May Allah protect us. Right? Who else? Give me another woman. Maryam binti Imran. Ya Maryam. Ya Ukhta Harwana. Right? Ma kana abuki kada. Your mom. Daqajiti shay'an fariya. That's horrible, Maryam. How can you be pregnant? Who's the guy? Subhanallah. Allah just made me pregnant without a man. People got accused. May Allah protect us. So think well of people. Think well of people. That's how you start. We're not naive. We think well of really good people. May Allah protect us. All of them. I will end with this. كذلك ما أتى الذين من كذلك ما أتى الذين من قبلهم من رسول. Allah said never. Actually, never, never did a prophet come إلا قالوا ساحر أو مجنون. No prophet ever came except that he was accused of being a magician or mentally ill or something wrong with him. May Allah protect us. Then Allah tells you, so what's step one? What's step one? We all got it. Step one is to think well of yourself, meaning think well of others. Say, if Majid was in that position, would he do that? La, mustahil. But that guy is better than you. That guy is better than Majid. So I don't think he will do that, inshallah. You think well. That's step two. Next. وَقَالُوا هَذَا إِفْكٌ مُبِينٌ. You shouldn't stay silent. Someone shares that. Say, la, la, هَذَا إِفْكٌ. This is a big lie. This is a slander. Clearly, this is a lie. But what if it wasn't? Don't worry. Don't worry. Allah will take care of you. That's how you start. Because you don't want to spread right away. May Allah grant us hikmah. And we're talking about Aisha here. Aisha wouldn't do something like that. إِفْكٌ مُبِينٌ. This is clearly an outrageous lie. Ya Rabbi, Allah protect us. Ya Rabbi, protect us. Say, Ameen. Allah says, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَا لِكُلِّ نَبِيٍّ عَدُوٍ. Allah says, every prophet had an enemy. Ya Allah. I remember one time, I was driving, and I had the brother on the passenger seat, front passenger, and the one in the rear. And then I dropped the brother in the front. When I dropped him off, I was driving, the brother in the back, he said, you know this brother you just dropped off? And you know when someone says something like that, sometimes you feel from the tone where they're trying to go with this, like something negative. He's like, you know this brother you just dropped off? Yes? He's like, you know, I saw him that day. I said, oh, whoa, 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 whoa. I said, stop, 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 stop. We're still friends, by the way. I have to tell this introduction, disclaimer, we're still friends. I said, don't. He's like, I saw him that night, and there was this girl. I'm like, ah, stop. I'm trying to, like, stop. He's like, what are you doing this to me? Let me just finish. I'm like, no, you're not going to finish. He's like, bro, I'm telling you, bro, I saw it with my own eyes, okay? I said, don't finish. He's like, bro, whatever. It's too extreme right now. So this guy, there was this girl. I'm like, wallahi al-azim, if you continue the story, I'm going to stop in the middle of the road and I'll drop you off. He's like, you're not doing it. So there's this guy. Okay, this guy and the girl. I'm like, get out. He's like, you're joking. I'm like, wallahi, I'm not kidding, get out. He's like, okay, he opened the door. He stood and he left the car. He's like, you know what? Then I drove so fast so the door can close. And I drove off. Don't give room for that. Did he ask me for advice? Doesn't look like it. Right? Did he ask me to help him out? Doesn't look like it. This is how you start. Look at the tone. And I gave. He could have said, no, no, I want to tell you something. I really want him to help him out. No. I just want to tell you something. We just want to talk. And this brother, yes, he might have been very angry. And he was very angry because I left him. I never came back. People asked me. I add this after I say the story. I never went back to pick him up. He walked home. But we are good friends now, alhamdulillah. And there's one thing about it. You know what? He knows for a fact I will never backbite him, inshallah. Inshallah. Right? Don't give, there's no room. ما في مجال. No room. May Allah protect us. So then Allah says, if the rumors are spreading, it's sounding very powerful, there's a lot of people talking, okay, now we need to address it. You go to another level. So level one, you think well. Level two, you verbalize, ifkun mubin, and slander. Aisha, mustahil, impossible. Aisha, the wife of the Prophet. Allah will do that to his Prophet. No way. Tayyib, it's growing. Next, step three. لَوْلَا جَاءُوا عَلَيْهِ بِأَرْبَعَةِ شُهَدَىٰ. You should have brought four witnesses. You should have brought four witnesses that saw the man and saw the woman doing what you are accusing them of doing. You guys got what I'm referring to. You should have got four people. And not any four people. شهود عدول. Trustworthy men and women that would have seen this action. Then they would have reported it. Then we would have addressed it. But what if I don't have four witnesses? Okay, then that's what you get. You don't have four witnesses? No, only one guy? Only one guy saw this? Doesn't count. فَإِذْ لَمْ يَأْتُوا بِالشُّهَدَاءِ فَأُولَئِكَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ هُمُ الْكَاذِبُونَ. If you did not come up with the four witnesses that Aisha radiallahu anha did what she did, your accusation, then everyone is a liar. All those who participated are liars. And look what Allah says. Usually, when you read the Quran, Allah says, هُمُ الْكَاذِبُونَ, right? But what do you see different in this ayah? That Allah is stressing to make it a really big deal. What do you notice different? عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. That's not usual in the Quran. Allah says, they are liars. But here, Allah says, they are to Allah liars. To intensify the action that they did towards Aisha radiallahu anha. You start saying, oh, she did this. You didn't even see it. You didn't even were around. And don't even have four witnesses. You guys are all liars. Very firm language. Very firm. May Allah protect us. Four witnesses. So Allah says, فَإِذْ لَمْ يَأْتُوا بِالشُّهَدَاءِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ هُمُ الْكَاذِبُونَ. And these people are the liars. And when I say these ayat, I want you to think of Aisha. I don't want you to think of مثلا, necessarily a neighbor or someone. No, think of Aisha radiallahu anha. Allah says, وَلَوْلَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَتُهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Had it not been for Allah's rahmah, okay, what would have happened? لَمَسَّكُمْ فِيمَا أَفَضْتُمْ فِيهِ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. If what you guys have done would have not been shown mercy to, Allah would have destroyed you all. No tolerance. But Allah says from His rahmah, and forgiveness is that He opened the door of repentance. You say that about Aisha radiallahu anha. May Allah forgive us, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, look what He says. إِذْ تَلَقَّوْنَهُ بِأَلْسِنَتِكُمْ. Focus on the words. The punishment would have come when you passed it from one tongue to the other. وَتَقُولُونَ بِأَفْوَاهِكُمْ مَا لَيْسَ لَكُمْ بِهِ عِلْمٍ. And you're saying with your mouth that which you have no knowledge about. What is Allah saying? مَا لَيْسَ لَكُمْ بِهِ. If you have ilm, it's different. You guys see the difference? If you have information, you have knowledge, clearly, that's a different story. Here, you had no clue what you're talking about. You just simply, how can you summarize this in one word? With an F, F-O-R? Forward, that's exactly a forward. That's what Allah is kind of referring to here. In our time, تَلَقَّوْنَا بِأَلْسِنَتِكُمْ بِأَلْسِنَتِكُمْ وَتَقُولُونَ بِأَفْوَاهِكُمْ. Just forward. Why? Why did you share this? An accusation that happened there, why are you sharing it for? What's your purpose, right? Because this guy comes from one person to the other person. Oh, okay, jazakallah khair for warning us. May Allah bless you, protect you, thank you. But you have to be a wise person when to share and when not to share. Agreed? And sometimes we share the wrong things. And I won't exaggerate if I tell you, we share far more wrong than right. صح? We share far more wrong than right. And we ruin families. People get divorced. People's reputation get destroyed because of... You know one of the worst lies, as some of us told us, some of the worst lies are when they're half true. Yes, the guy saw from the side door of this house or whatever. Okay, whatever the case, but it wasn't, he was trying to fix something. He thought he was in a different house. Whatever the case may be, may Allah protect us, Ya Rabbil Alameen. So then Allah says, وَتَحْسَبُونَهُ هَيِّنًا وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ. You think it's simple. I didn't put so much thought into it. I never knew it was going to be that bad. Yeah, it was that bad. It's that bad. To you it might be simple. Allah said to me, it's serious. Allah says to me, it's serious. And many sins in Islam, people think little of it, but they're serious. Give me one. People are like, really? I never knew it was that bad. Give me a sin in Islam. Go ahead. Cursing, صح? Cursing, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَبْغَضْ. Allah hates الفاحش البذيء. The one that has foul language, foul behavior. May Allah protect us. What else? People thought, oh, it's so simple. Backbiting, ahsant, Allah barik feek. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walked by a set of graves. Then he says, إِنَّمْ يُعَذَّبَنِي وَمَا يُعَذَّبَنِي بِكَبِيرٍ. They're being punished, but they're not being punished for something major. It is a major sin, but they thought it was not major. It's just a foreword. And this is what society lives off of. TMZ, the People magazine, Vanity Fair, whatever it's called. All these things, they live off of fahisha. They live off of rumors. Allegedly, right? Allegedly. كله allegedly. So they don't get sued. Because what's allegedly mean? It's a news that you share and you say, I'm not sure, but that's what they say. Allegedly. You destroyed the house? Allegedly. May Allah protect us. Right? So be very careful. So backbiting. They thought it was not a big deal. Just a word that I said, having iftar, bro. Come on, man. Allah ghafoor raheem. No, they're being punished in the grave. What else? Give me last one. Go ahead. عقوق الوالدين, disrespect to parents, right? Disrespect to parents is severe to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ready for this? Ahsan. He said, no, be ready. He said, there's no sin that makes the punishment come so quickly, faster than when someone cuts their ties of kinship and are disrespectful to their parents. And you know, like the side effect, like some people, I have a brother just right now, he's told me, bro, I took the booster. When did you feel the effects of the booster? Like, I don't know, 12 hours later. In a way, if someone commits such sin, the iqab, the side effect of that sin, there's nothing as fast than when you commit the sin of disrespecting family, disrespecting parents. The punishment comes right away. Like the moment you leave the house, la, in the house, may Allah protect us. It's enough if it's the heart that is no longer comfortable. May Allah protect us, ya Rab. Ahsant. طيب, let's continue. وَتَحْسَبُونَهُ هَيِّنًا وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ. You look at the sin, as what some ulama said, don't look at the size of the sin. Look at the magnitude of the one whom you sinned against. لَا تَنْظُرْ عَلَى عِظَمِ الْمَعْصِيَةِ وَلَكِنْ أُنْظُرْ إِلَى عِظَمْ مَنْ عَصَيْتْ. May Allah protect us. Then Allah says, another lesson. وَلَوْلَا إِذْ سَمِعْتُمُوهُ قُلْتُمْ مَا يَكُونُ لَنَا أَن نَتَكَلَّمَ بِهَذَا سُبْحَانَكَ هَذَا بُهْتَانٌ عَظِيمٌ. What you should have done, Sahaba, what you should have done, all people, is the following. You should have said, upon hearing this, we would not talk about this. You stop it. You shut it down. I'm not going to get involved in this. You'd have no proof. Bro, I got it on 4K. That's a different story. Okay? You have no proof, nothing. These people just, was Safwan and Aisha all alone. And Abu Abdullah ibn Saluni said, oh, young man, young woman, if you think about it logically, what they would have done. May Allah forgive us and protect us. Anybody you see under the stairs in a high school, a guy and a girl, and you go spread it. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fear Allah. Yeah, I'm not stupid. I know you're not stupid, but the point of this deen is not to expose people. Exposing people is not a target. Exposing people is not a target. Some people see it as a target. La. You expose people when there is, that's a means to a target, is to save society. You see the difference? Exposing people is not a target. Please, guys, when you forward something, verify. Well, so-and-so sent it to me. Doesn't matter who sent it to you. Pay attention. May Allah forgive us. So Allah says, وَلَوْلَا إِذْ سَمِعْتُمُوا قُلْتُمْ. I would never speak about this. Subhanak. I was, to be honest with you, I did not understand Subhanak. They said Subhanallah. But why? In this story, Subhanallah. Help me out. Yalla. We're almost done. Subhanallah. Why Subhanallah? Subhanallah. In this story of Aisha, you should have said Subhanallah. And Allah free from any mistakes. Go ahead, Maryam. Ahsanti. MashaAllah, tabarakallah. MashaAllah, tabarakallah. But I'll adjust the whole ruining Allah's image. I'll change that, okay? Because I don't think it sounds very good from my end. But Allah would never allow His Prophet to marry someone who commits that sin. So you say, Subhanak. Subhanallah. Right? There's no way. No one is perfect. We all do mistakes. We all do sins. But the Prophet's wives never do these mistakes. Even when Allah speaks about Prophet Lut's wife and Prophet who? Lut and Prophet? Nuh. Okay? فَخَانَتَهُمَا. They betrayed their husbands. We open up all the books. Betrayal here does not mean they betrayed as an infidelity. They had an intimacy or so with the opposite gender. لا أعود بالله. Fair enough. سبحانك هذا بهتان عظيم. Then يعذكم الله أن تعودوا لمثله أبدا إن كنتم مؤمنين. Allah says, don't you ever do this again. This is a warning. This is like a final warning. Don't you ever do this again. In kuntum wa mu'mineen. That means the more you spread rumors that you have no information about, you have no know what you're doing, this is a lack of what? Lack of iman. So Allah says, in kuntum mu'mineen. It's like someone telling a guy, if you're a man, protect your family. So Allah is emphasizing, if you're a mu'min, if you're a mu'mina, don't talk about Aisha and the Prophet's household like that. Alayhi salatu wassalam. وَيُبَيِّنُ اللَّهُ لَكُمُ الْآيَاتِ وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ حَكِيمٌ. And Allah is showing you all these rules. There's one left. Allah is showing you all these rules because Allah is the all-wise and Allah is the all-knowledgeable. This saves society. This protects people. Beware of what you spread. Beware of what you share. Know when to expose, when not to expose, when what to forward, when not to forward. You have to take this very serious. Oh, it's very detailed. Sometimes you have to because the damage is large. Allah will not hold you accountable sometimes if someone is innocent and you didn't go investigate. Someone is innocent, protect them, be nice to them. Allah says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, whoever conceals their brother and their sister, what happens to them? Allah will conceal them yawm al-qiyamah. You think we're all here have shortcomings? Forgive me for this transparency, forgive me. All of us here don't have shortcomings? We all have. We all have. Look what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. يَا مَعْشَرَ مَنْ آمَنَ بِلِسَانِهِ. O you who said Islam with your tongue, وَلَمْ يَدْخُلِ الْإِيمَانُ قَلْبَهِ. But iman is not fully instilled in your heart yet, like you're still growing in faith. لَا تَغْتَابُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Do not backbite your brothers and sisters. Look at this. وَلَا تَتَّبِعُ عَوْرَاتِهِمْ. Don't wait for them to fall. Oh my God, guess who I saw? Brother A, sister B, sitting on a tree. K-I-S-S-I, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْكِ. Right? May Allah protect us. Can't wait. No, the Prophet says, وَلَا تَتَّبِعُ. Don't look for someone's fault. You can't wait for them to fall. Once. Take a picture, video. Allah will share it. That's obsession. Obsession. May Allah protect us. Then the Prophet says, if you do that, if you can't wait for someone to fall, تَتَّبَّعَ اللَّهُ عَوْرَتَهُ. Then Allah will follow your faults. And Allah يَفْضَحُ وَلَوْ فِي جَوْفِ بَيْتِهِ. Then Allah will expose that person, even if what they did was somewhere that no one really saw them, but Allah can still expose them. May Allah protect us. Then the last nasiha here, Allah says the following. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُحِبُّونَ. Those who love. أَن تَشِيعَ الْفَاحِشَةَ فِي الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Those who love when this happens, they actually get excited. It's actually fun to talk about. Did you see what happened? Oh my God. And this is how the world, you go buy a chocolate. You go to Kroger. Kroger! What happens next to Kroger? You have a gum, you have chocolate, you have a magazine. John Travolta exposed. Nikki, may Allah protect us, right? There's after people, and these people go having mental health issues because of these things. May Allah guide them all, Ya Rab. May Allah guide them, Ya Rab. All the cameras on them, there's no privacy anymore. So Allah says, those who love that fahisha, indecency spreads in the Muslim community. لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. What did Allah say? Those who what? Those who what? Love. They didn't say anything. They didn't do anything. They just like it. I would say something, but people would know like it's not appropriate if I say, but I'm happy that this is happening to her. I'm happy it's happening to him. أعوذ بالله. Just loving it. So who's going to held accountable? Those who said it, those who did not defend, and those who loved it in their heart, they will too be held accountable. Why? Because the only thing stopping them was a worldly reason. It's not they felt bad, I shouldn't talk, it's haram. No, something's stopping them. I don't want to be in that part of the article. I don't want my name to be there. I don't want this to be there. That's the only reason. May Allah forgive us. Then Allah says, فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. عَذَاب in the dunya and عَذَاب in the akhirah. May Allah protect us. And here when Allah seals it all, in the last ayah, Aisha said, وَلَوْلَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَتُهُ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. Allah says at the end of the day, He is the most forgiving, He is the most merciful. If you're the one who is innocent, innocently accused, go back to Allah. Allah will not let you go broken like that. If you're the one who committed that sin, Allah's door is always open. This is Ramadan. All the doors of hell are what? The doors of hell are what? The doors of hell are closed, so you can't go to hell even if you try to walk in. Right? And the doors of Jannah are open. May Allah make us all enter it. Ameer Rabbil Alameen.